This is The Beat, a podcast series that keeps you in the know about the latest community policing topics facing our nation.
Hello and welcome. My name is Cindy Pappas, and on behalf of the COPS office, I would like to thank you for joining us for the third in a series of five podcasts on the issues surrounding school safety, the role of police in schools, and the importance of community coordination in the identification and referral of children who have been victims of or witnesses to violence, as well as those who are in need of support services. Joining us today is John Michael Keyes, who along with his wife Ellen started the I Love You Guys Foundation after the tragic shooting death of their daughter Emily on September 27, 2006 at the Platte Canyon High School. Mr. Keyes, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today in the hope that advancing student and school safety throughout the nation.
Good day.
First, could you please tell us about the genesis and the mission of the I Love You Guys Foundation?
Yes, in 2006, a gunman entered Platte Canyon High School and held seven girls hostage. Over the course of the afternoon, he released five of those girls. And during that time, my daughter, one of the hostages, sent a text message to us, "I love you guys." Slightly before 4 o'clock, Jefferson County Regional SWAT team, along with Park County Sheriff's Office, made the decision to intervene. And unfortunately, Emily was shot and killed by the gunman during that intervention. And with those events, we started the I Love You Guys Foundation, just based on the tremendous amount of support that came from not just the community or even the state, but across the country.
And out of that tragedy, you developed a standard response protocol. Can you share a little bit of information about that and how you believe that it helps to forge a common language between first responders and school administrators?
Yeah, in 2009, we started looking real closely at this whole fuzzy concept called school safety. And what we saw was that there wasn't a common language between students, staff, and first responders during any type of a crisis. And we worked with various law enforcement and school officials to refine a protocol that's based on four actions that can be used during a crisis: lockout, lockdown, evacuate, and shelter. And we put materials together that are available at no charge to districts, departments, and agencies to help schools and first responders train students and staff on those four actions and how to use them in a crisis.
Now, you provide these safety resources free of charge. How is the foundation and how is this sustainable?
We do a couple of fundraising events over the course of the year that handle the bulk of our revenue needs, and we're a small foundation, and so it's always a challenge keeping that revenue stream going. I additionally do some speaking engagements out of state. In the last 3 years, it's been over 150 presentations in 14 states and British Columbia. 80 of those, though, were in Colorado, and our commitment in Colorado is that we'll do presentations or training, and it'll cost you, typically lunch, and I like those $5 foot-long subs. So it really is about getting the word out and getting the message out on how this protocol works and how schools and first responders can implement it in their districts.
And it is such a powerful message. If we could go back to the day of the incident, about the interaction with law enforcement, their response, and their interaction with you and your wife and your family members, if you could walk us through a little bit of that, and then maybe what guidance that you can give to law enforcement and emergency medical services on how they can and should respond to surviving family members during and following a traumatic incident.
Well, in Colorado, we've got very strong lessons learned from Columbine, and one of the things that Ellen and I were very committed to immediately was that we don't blame the first responders. Often that becomes one of the focus points for blame, and for us, that was a non-starter. It was absolutely imperative that we supported law enforcement decisions and actions during that crisis. A lunatic entered the high school, and I saw hundreds of first responders show up to help. And we immediately embraced law enforcement and their actions, and that's resulted in some amazing outcomes down the road, and has really made it easier to heal, if you will.
And there's been some other interesting partnerships in this, from my understanding. Can you tell us a little bit about the ride that occurs every year?
In the immediate aftermath, the darndest thing happened. The motorcycle community here in Colorado wanted to do a ride, a symbolic ride, from Columbine High School to Black Canyon High School. And literally thousands of bikers showed up at Columbine and rode 38 miles to Black Canyon. And we've upheld that tradition in the years since. That's one of the fundraisers that helps keep our program available at no charge to districts, departments, and agencies. And so that ride has been absolutely phenomenal. And in the second year, we wanted to honor first responders with a 5K simultaneously. And the Jefferson County Regional SWAT team approached us and said that they wanted to do a symbolic run. And we talked about that 5K, but they wanted to do something bigger. And they actually ran from the sheriff's office in Jefferson County, 38 miles to Black Canyon High School. And it was an amazing event. And my son Casey had asked if he could join in that ride, in that run. And it was absolutely magical.
That is amazing. And I've been on the website. And actually, if you could tell our audience a little bit more about where they can find more information about the I Love You Guys Foundation, as well as the multitude of resources that, again, you provide free of charge to schools and an agency seeking.
Absolutely. The website URL is iloveyouguys.org, and that's I love, and then the letter U, guys.org. And we've got a ton of materials up there that can help schools and law enforcement really implement these programs with fidelity. Somehow we created enough materials that folks can do it themselves and do it well.
Very good. Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share with our audience today?
One of the things we're seeing as a beneficial side effect of using this protocol is that it really empowers kids in knowing what to do, especially with recent events and the active shooter concept. If we can delay having that actor find targets as law enforcement arrives, then we are helping save lives. And that's really the basis of the protocol, is to keep kids safe during an event so that as law enforcement arrives, it gives law enforcement the ability to seek the target.
Very good. Well, thank you, and both to you and to your wife, Ellen, and your family. I appreciate your time and your expertise today.
And thank you.
The Beat was brought to you by the United States Department of Justice Cops Office. The Cops Office helps to keep our nation's communities safe by giving grants to law enforcement agencies, developing community policing publications, developing partnerships, and solving problems.
The opinions contained herein are those of the authors and do not necessarily represent the official position or policies of the U.S. Department of Justice. References to specific agencies, companies, products, or services should not be considered an endorsement by the authors or the U.S. Department of Justice. Rather, the references are illustrations to supplement discussion of the issues.